Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Cabinet meeting of Monday, the 15th of June 2020. I will now proceed with item number one, which is to receive apologies for absence. Andrea?
We've received apologies from the Cabinet support members, Councillor Ashcroft and Councillor McGarry.
Item number two is declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest this evening? No? Okay, thank you. Item number three is to approve as a correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of May 2020. So I would like to propose that those minutes are approved. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Barker. Does anybody have any questions or comments on the minutes? No. So all in favour of my signing those as a correct record? Okay, I can see that that is unanimous from all Cabinet members. Thank you. So I will sign those once I'm in a position to do so. Thank you. Item number four is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. I don't believe there is any urgent business.
No, there's none, Chair.
Thank you. So item number five is the forward plan. Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the period of the 1st of June right the way through to the 30th of September this year. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you. Are there any questions on the forward plan? No? Okay, lovely. Thank you. So we're on to item number six, which is the revenue and capital outturn report, the final outturn for 2019-2020. And we are bringing in Lisa to present the report. Lisa, are you there?
I'm there.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep. Sorry, I'm trying to share the presentation.
Okay.
Right. So this is the final outturn position for financial year 19-20. The purpose of the report is to cover the revenue outturn for 19-20, provide an update on the capital programme, cover treasury management activities for the financial year, as well as the business rates retention outturn, and finally, a risk management update. In terms of the revenue budget outturn, which is covered at paragraph 4.1 of the report, the draft outturn position is underspend for the financial year of £23,000 against the net revenue budget of 10.6 million. As you can see from the table on screen, there are a number of variations within that overall total, which of course also takes into account the financial pressures arising from the COVID-19 pandemic during March of the financial year. There are a number of variations within this overall sum, but the most significant of these relates to the waste management, which has been reported throughout the year. Other main variations are outlined at paragraph 4.3, with a full schedule of variances set out at Appendix A in the normal manner. There is one carry forward request of £6,500, which is outlined at paragraph 4.5 of the report, with the remaining underspend £17,500 recommended to be set aside within reserves. Overall, earmarked reserves are estimated to have increased from 13.7 million to 15.1 million during the course of the year, and the general fund balance remains at 1.3 million in line with the approved medium-term financial strategy. In terms of the capital programme, This is covered at section 6 of the report, and the table at paragraph 6.2 summarises the position. Expenditure of 2.1 million was incurred during the course of the year against an approved budget of 4.7 million. Ongoing projects amounting to 2.5 million are proposed to be carried forward into 2021 to enable those projects to continue. The report highlights 15,000 in relation to projects that are no longer required. At paragraph 6.4, there is also a schedule of capital receipts that have been received during the course of the year, amounting to 0.4 million. In relation to treasury management activities, investments stood at 33 million at the end of the financial year, with average returns of 0.8%, exceeding benchmarks. The vast majority of our investments at year end were held short term, reflecting a low risk approach under the present circumstances. Core external borrowing stood at 11 million, with average borrowing cost of 5.4%, consistent with previous years. The overall treasury management activities have been in line with the approved treasury management strategy. In relation to the business rates retention scheme, this was introduced back in April 2013 and has resulted in a significant amount of uncertainty and volatility within the scheme. However, the council did participate in a Staffordshire-wide 75% business rates retention scheme during the course of 2019-20. Principal benefit from this was being able to retain the growth within the area, additional growth within the area. So I'm very pleased to report a very positive outcome in terms of the draft figures against the business rates retention scheme, with a surplus against the budget of 3.1 million. Now, there are two main reasons for this surplus. The first of those relates to a review of the provision held against appeals lodged with the Valuation Office to take into account the most recent information. And the second primary reason relates to the decision to not operate a shadow pool with the Greater Birmingham and Solihull LEP. We are awaiting final results from the pilot to determine our final windfall allocation. However, we have already received 0.2 million on account. Given the economic outlook and uncertainty in relation to this scheme and future appeals, the report recommends setting aside these funds within the existing business rates retention reserve and reviewing the position as part of the development of the future MTFS. In terms of risk management, the risk management strategy was adopted back in September 2015, and Appendix E outlines the corporate and strategic risks facing the authority, together with how these are being managed and controlled by the authority. In conclusion, overall, once again, it continues to be a very positive position. Demonstrates that we've been able to adapt to the unprecedented and ongoing funding reductions to local authorities, and our financial planning is robust, and we continue to have effective financial management across the authority. It does provide a strong foundation to enable the council to meet the financial challenges ahead during these unprecedented times. And the recommendations to Cabinet are set out at paragraphs 3.1 13.1 to 13.3 onwards. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Chair.
Thank you, Lisa. Does anybody have any questions that they would like to ask? Okay, nobody is indicating they wish to speak. Lisa, I just want to thank you for the presentation, and also to thank you, Sal, and the wider team for your hard work in delivering what is a very pleasing outturn position, particularly given that we were forecasting throughout the year an overspend. So it's obviously very pleasing, and does everybody at this meeting and across the council a great credit that the financial resilience of the council remains strong in what is a very difficult period, and what promises to be even more difficult for our residents, our businesses, and us as an organisation ourselves. So I'm very pleased as leader to be presiding over a solidly delivered budget. As I say, thanks to all involved. The position around the business rates retention is also very pleasing, and that gives us a good degree of headroom in terms of the financial pressures that are certain to come as a result of COVID-19. So it's very reassuring that we have that to help our future ongoing resilience and to help us support continuing to deliver our services. So if anybody else would like to speak, shout up now. Otherwise, I'm going to move the recommendations. So I will move the recommendations set out in 13, section 13 of the report. So that's in relation to the revenue outturn. We note the outturn position. We approve the carry forward request of £6,000 as outlined in paragraph 4.5, that we transfer the remaining sum of £17,000 to reserves. 13.2, in relation to the capital outturn, we note the outturn position and that we approve the budgets for outstanding projects from 1920 totaling £2.547 million to be carried forward to 2020-21. And under 13.3, we note the position in relation to the council's investments and borrowings as at the 31st of March, and the position in respect to the council's general balances and earmarked reserves as at the 31st of March 2020. And we note the draft outturn position in relation to the business rates retention scheme for 1920 and the subsequent set aside to reserves. And lastly, that we note the significant risks facing the authority and associated mitigations or control measures in place as outlined within Appendix D. So I would like to move those recommendations. Do I have a second, please? Councillor Barker, all in favour? I can see that all members of Cabinet are in favour, so that those recommendations are carried. Thank you very much, Lisa, for the report.
Thank you, Leader.
Okay, so we will move on now to item number 7, which is the Corporate Plan Performance Report 2019-20 end of year, and that will be delivered by James Abbott. So we'll ask James to join us.
Okay, good evening all. Thank you, Leader.
James, away you go.
Okay, thank you. So, we're looking here at the end of year corporate plan performance report, looking at the council's progress towards achieving its objectives for the last financial year. And I just wanted to provide a very quick summary of the headline figures and the key points arising from the report. Well, as I hope you can see from the document that's been circulated, the numbers suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be very good, as it has with previous quarters and indeed previous years. But just to summarise the detail, each of those targets has been graded using the red, amber, green traffic light style system of ratings, using the normal year-end definitions, and have been ranked accordingly dependent on the progress of each individual indicator. And what the analysis we've done is showing is that out of the 109 targets that we have in total, there are 97 that have been marked as green. There are just 3 that have been highlighted as amber, and just 6 that have been highlighted as being red. There are a further two targets that have been deferred or have been previously agreed for deletion. So if we look purely at the remaining 106 live targets, this equates to the council being at 91.51% green overall, just 2.83% amber. So of course follows that we're just 5.66% red. And just provide a bit of further breakdown on that, the table you can see on page 5 of the report, that shows how those percentages break down across the various grades within the overarching colour status. It's also worth mentioning the table on page 6, as this shows the summary of the overall performance and how it reflects across the three corporate priorities, as well as the five individual cabinet portfolios. But as you can see from that table, they, even when considered individually, each of these specific areas has itself performed very well, as with the overall performance of the council. So those three targets that I've referred to that have been highlighted as amber or red, they are all detailed in full in section 5.5 of the main report, which you can see starting from page 7. This section just includes some narrative to provide some context around the situation with each of those indicators, which I hope you find useful. But Appendix 1 does include the comprehensive data on all the indicators in the corporate plan, which of course underpins our monitoring of the council's performance. So that's a summary of the final position in terms of last year's performance. I would like to just highlight the section 5.7 of the main report, which is looking at the targets for the current financial year, so 2020-21. It will be our normal approach to agree as part of this end of year report those few targets that couldn't be agreed back in March when the corporate plan was approved by full council, as we're waiting for the year end outturns in order to make an informed judgment on an appropriate target for each of those. Given the current COVID-19 situation, it would seem appropriate to postpone the setting of those few targets listed there until the end of the first quarter of this year. So again, we can make an informed judgment on an appropriate target accounting for these unprecedented circumstances. Finally, on a similar point there, Appendix 2 provides a list of all the targets for the current financial year that have been potentially impacted by the COVID-19 situation. So the 69 targets there that have been highlighted, and these of course might need some thought as we move forward. So that's a brief summary of the main report. The three recommendations arising are firstly for the Cabinet to consider the Council's performance towards achieving the three corporate priorities. Secondly, to defer the target setting for those five targets detailed in section 5.7 until after the quarter one outturns. And thirdly, to consider the potential impact of the COVID-19 situation on those targets that are listed in Appendix 2. But as I mentioned at the outset, the numbers would suggest that the council continues to be in a very good position in terms of its corporate performance over the past 12 months. And with that, I'll pass back to you, Lydia, for any questions.
Thank you, James. And obviously, a pleasing report in terms of the performance of the council, which goes hand in hand with the previous report. So obviously demonstrating good financial resilience, good financial controls, and also an extremely good level of performance across the year. Does anybody have any questions that they would like to raise on the report itself before I turn to the recommendations? Okay. So I would like to move the recommendations as set out in section 12, but I would like to move them with one amendment. So, and I've sent that amendment to Andrea and to the monitoring officer by email just. So the amendment, so the recommendations is section 12.1, to consider performance at the end of the 2019-20 financial year towards achieving the council's corporate priorities, to defer target setting for CR04, 05, VFM19, VFM21 and VFM22 until after the quarter one outturn, given the exceptional circumstances. 12.3, to consider the potential impact of the coronavirus situation on the corporate plan targets for 2021 as listed in Appendix 2, and also to add that the plan targets VFM14, VFM16 and VFM37A are amended from amber to red to reflect the end of year position. So can I have a seconder for that recommendation, and we will go on to debate that. Councillor Barker seconded. I will just speak to that in terms of we've had this discussion internally prior to now, but the purpose of a red, amber and green rating is obviously to as a project management methodology to give us a picture of what's happening during the course of the year. So if targets are red or amber, then they're obviously items for action during the course of the year in order to seek to make amendments to those to try and bring those in to target. My position is quite clear. Once you get to the end of a year, those items become a binary target. They are either met or they're not. So I am very strongly of the view that when we get to the end of a year, matters should not be marked as amber. Each of those items has a reason why it hasn't made the target, and those are important and completely justifiable reasons which have been outlined. So I understand the position that the officers are quite rightly putting forward, and following a process and a procedure that is consistent with one that has been operated by the council for a number of years. However, my opinion is that, as I say, those items should be, once you get to the end of the year, a binary figure. And you know, I appreciate that makes the overall position in terms of red and green worse. But I do feel that it reflects an accurate and clear position for our constituents. Councillor Barker, you've indicated you'd like to speak.
Yes, thank you, Leader. I mean, it does seem a little pedantic, but I think you've made a very good point. And we, you know, as portfolio holders, we appreciate the amber and red during the year where we're trying to overcome it. As you say, at the end of the year, if we haven't got there, then we haven't got there. And the narrative is exceptional. And I think that's good enough to explain to people why we haven't got there, and there's no point in pretending that we have. It's a red, we didn't quite make it, but this is the explanation. And I think, you know, credit to James and the rest of the team, because you know, we all know where we stand, but I think it's either at the end of the year it's either green or red, so I will support you on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barker. Does anybody else have any comments on that? If not, I don't think anybody does. No. In which case, I am going to move to the vote on that. So, all in favour? That is unanimously in favour. So that recommendation is passed as amended. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, James, for the report this evening.
Very welcome. Thanks all. Good night.
Thanks. So we now move on to item number 8, which is the Waste Collection Service Review Dry Recycling and Garden Waste Treatment Contract Options Report. I move that, in accordance with Section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in paragraph 1 of Section 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda.